The exciting thing that I'm experiencing in my life right now is really strange in a way, but the scripture does say your last days will be greater than your first. That means if you get your first days great now, like say when you're at Joseph's age, boy, your last days should be through the roof, right? A lot of us have figured it out later in life. And so that promise still exists. What I love about it is Jesus shared a story one time. He shared a story about a man who had a field, and he called people to work in the beginning of the day, the first watch set. Then he went out in the second watch, and my understanding is that's probably around 10, 11 o'clock. I think the first watch is around 7, 6, 7, then 10, 11. Then he went out the third watch, which would be after lunchtime. Then he went out close to the last few hours of the day, and he brought people in. And at the end of the day, he paid everybody the same. Now we could tell the whole story because he says the people who were there from the beginning of the day got upset. Like, why did the people who came in the end of the day get paid the same as us? We worked longer. He said, did I promise you a certain salary? Yes. Did you agree to it? Yes. Did I pay you what I promised you? Yes. What business is of yours how I pay people with my money? You agreed to work for an amount. I paid you that amount. Pretty much, he said, mind your business and shut up. Like, it's none of your business. But I paid the guys who worked the last of the day the same hours. And I remember when the first time I heard that story, I've heard people say, well, that's not fair. And I was like, immediately, I was like, no, that's very fair. Because he's telling a story. He's telling a story that it doesn't make a difference when you got saved, if you just got saved last week, if you got saved 10 years ago, if you got saved 10 minutes ago. At the end of the day, salvation is equal. There's no separation. Well, growing and studying the word and learning the definition of salvation, and this is where it gets really, really real to me. I learned that salvation is not just going to heaven when you die. Salvation is healing. Salvation is prosperity, peace of mind, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised and our peace being upon him. All of that's included in the salvation story. Amen. Am I right? Am I correct? Okay. So that means he says that anything that includes salvation, you can get in the last minute. And get it. So then I started saying, well, then I should be able to operate in the gifts of somebody who's been in the church for 50 years. I should be able to have the wisdom. I should be able to reap successfully. I should be able to have this. So as Nellie came in the room today, she came in the room. She said, we may go on, and we didn't pray. And God has instructed her to pray over me. And she's been consistently praying over my healing. I don't know if you can see the top of the head. There's already going back in. And I stopped her and I said, that's not the leading I got today. I want you to listen to this. I said, we keep praying. Ready? You ready? Okay. I'm not going to say let's grow, even though I just said it. Okay. Listen to this. He said, you keep praying at the manifestation of a symptom. You're not praying the root. You're looking at this, you're looking at this lesions, you're looking at the hair, you're looking at your leg, you're looking at your knee, you're looking at all of these things, but you're not praying for healing at the source. Stay close to what I'm about to say. What is the root of that and that and that and this and this? And what's the root of it? He said, it's usually a sickness in the spirit that's manifesting itself on your exterior. God bless you. You understand what I'm saying? Are you listening? We have been designed or trained to pray about the outside without saying, God, what's going on in me? Is there something going on in me that I need to attack? And then those of you who do pray that way, is, well, God, if there's anything, if there's any sin in my life, he said, I ask you to tell the doctor how to do his job. I just said, allow him to do his job. You don't need to know why and if it's this or this that. God, whatever it is, I'm asking for your healing. And the people said, amen. Just heal me. I don't need the doctor to tell me when I go there, or the medical and legal terms and whatever terms, HIPAA terms and contract rules. Just give me the solution to solve this problem, right? Well, if there's any sin, I want you to reveal it. God's like, no, just ask to be delivered. You don't need to walk down the valley of all the stuff that you may have done wrong, stupid. No, you understand what I'm saying? Like, why do you need that information? Just let the doctor do his job. Who receives what I'm saying right now? Just let him do his job. Just, God, I'm here. I'm the patient. You're the doctor. Do the diagnosis and tell me what I need to take. And I'm out of here. I don't need to sit around and walk through the whole journey of, okay, you got this kind of sickness, and here's how you got it. Maybe you was walking in the supermarket and somebody sneezed on your car and didn't wipe down the handle. And you don't want to know all of that. You just want to know where you need to be to be healed, or what you need to do, or what you need to take, and how many times a day you need to take it, right? So God said, listen, you're praying from the wrong direction. You're praying looking at the results and not asking me to address the source. And I said, well, didn't that come? He said, no, you literally laying hands on the thing which you're supposed to do and saying, heal that. God, heal me from the inside out. Deal with anything that's in me, that's on me. I didn't realize there was stress sitting on me like stress was sitting on me. I had no idea. Why? Because I listen close, Q, because I was used to functioning in it. So because I'm so used to functioning in it, it didn't feel like stress to me. It felt like life, but it wasn't life. It was stress. And it was loaded down on me in such a way that I didn't even realize anymore. You know, there's this old thing. I didn't even plan to talk this long, but if this is blessing you, just nod your head or give me something and I'll keep going. I heard this story more and more in the past, but it popped up again recently. And I'm like, why am I hearing this story a lot lately? And it clicked for me. The story about putting a frog in boiling water. How many of you have heard that? They say if you try to put a frog in boiling water, he'll immediately jump out. But if you put him in a pot of cool water and put the fire on low and let it heat up slowly, he'll stay right there in that pot until he dies and get cooked and not even jump. Because the gradualness of it, his senses won't even identify that he's slowly dying. And God has shown me that the enemy treats us like that. He'll sometimes bring stuff to us so slowly and slow increments and slow change and slow manipulation and slow, acceptance and holding on and believing. I just got to be a good Christian and holding on until it gets so big that we're crushed under the weight of it before we realize we are. So when the doctor kept looking at me and saying, and I went back again, he's like, I don't see, it's probably stress related. And I'm like, I'm not stressed. And then I sat down with God and he said, yeah. You got a lot sitting on you and you have just learned to juggle. But you haven't been putting things down. You just juggle. We're in a society that tells us to multitask. What does that mean? Just keep handling everything. God said, your healing needs to be on the inside. God, set me free. Release me from all the stuff that I hold on to. So I began to deal with things that was bothering my heart and bothering my emotions and weights that I was carrying. And all of a sudden, I start to see and feel. I can't even say see, I've seen some, but feel healing in my body. Feel my body now fighting back. I can feel it. God has called us to trust him, but that's not enough. Let me open my scripture back up. As we've been reading for the past couple of weeks, the word trust, we're using it too lightly. Well, just trust in the Lord. What does that mean? I trust you, God. You don't know that. You don't know that till a moment hits. You don't know that till you have to deal. So what am I missing? Believing me and practice believing me long enough that when the situation comes, trust is not an issue. You trust what you believe in. Do I need to explain that better? Do I a little bit? If I'm a person who doesn't keep his word, and you came to me and said, "Can you help me? I need $10,000." And I said, "Sure, I got you." Do you believe me? I said, "And I'm a person who doesn't keep his word." And you say yes to that? You're thinking about me. I got it. No. I said, and I'm a person who doesn't keep his word. Pay attention to the details, it's important. If I come to you and I'm a person who doesn't keep his word, and you're in a situation, you say, I need $10, I said, don't worry, I got you. Do you believe me? Absolutely not. You may have even asked me. But you don't believe me. So even if you want to have the faith that I'm going to come true, and you might true, and you might even try to, you cannot because you don't believe me. I am not what they call trustworthy. Pay attention to the words. Now, you've been around me. You know me. You've seen me. You know my response. Now you come to me and you say, I need $10,000. Can you help me out by next week? And I say to you, yeah, I see what I can do. I want you to notice what I just said. Pay attention to my words. I see what I can do. I didn't even say a definite yes. I said, I see what I can do. But you know me, and you know me to be trustworthy, and you know me to be a man of my word. How confident are you on that day, even though I didn't tell you I had it, that I'm gonna come true for you? But I just said, I'll see what I can do. But because you believe me, you put trust in that. Even if he's gonna try. I already know him. He's gonna try. He's gonna figure out. He's gonna try to work it out. Am I right? People don't spend enough time with God to believe his word. They read the word for encouragement when they're in trouble, but they don't have enough relationship time to believe him so that when the situation comes that demands trust. You haven't developed a relationship to know what that person has said, what that person's reputation is to believe. So when you say just trust God, I'm like, trust them based on what? Trust is based on something. Demanding trust without proof is not even fair. It's not right. Somebody say to you, trust me. Somebody say that to me, I need you to trust me, and I don't know you. I'm like, you just gave me 10,000 reasons to not trust you because you asked me for something that you don't even deserve. Who am I talking to right now, right? You don't have a right to ask me for trust that you haven't earned. Show me who you are in your character or in past behavior that puts me in a place that I trust you. So asking you to trust God and you haven't given the opportunity to God to show himself to you by his word or through experiences, and then you don't mark and note those experiences emotionally and mentally and logically as you deal with them, when situations present themselves to trust, you have to go to trying to believe all over again. So when we're sharing this word in this season, in this time, I need you to understand this. You cannot keep coming to this service, to me on the phone in conversation, and not putting yourself in the place after you hear what you hear to study or sit with it until you develop a belief that now you can trust in. You don't have the footing. You're just getting encouraged on a sad and bad day. And church folk do that, and it's a horrible thing to do to yourself. You don't trust it because you don't taste and see or test me or prove me here and see. That's what he said. Prove me here. Give your tithes and offerings and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. He said, I'm giving you a method. People say, oh, see, God told you could prove him with money. That's not the point. You can prove him with everything. He's saying, but what he's saying is prove me by doing it, trying it, and seeing that it works. That's what he said, didn't he? Prove me now and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven. Give it a shot. Try it. Use it. Perfect it. It's a skill set. Trusting God is a skill set that is developed through practice. Dr. Brown, you hear you're a teacher. Am I saying anything wrong? Can you teach a class without them trying out the methods? They try it, they learn it, they mess it up, they do it again, they figure it out, they get better at it, and they get sports, boxing, whatever it is. You learn to trust your abilities by practicing them. Faith is not an automatic on switch. It's something that you work and you work out. Do I need to share that another one? Okay, I'll share that last one. You didn't know I roller skate. And those who have been around me see that I can skate. But I look at these kids doing stuff and I'm like, I can't do that. Dropping down on one leg and spinning around backwards on one leg with one leg sticking out and making turns and everything on the one leg and all this kind of stuff they're doing. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, you can do all of that. But it's going to take preparation and development and practice to get there. It's not your age. You're not fit to do it. You haven't practiced that. So now I have a trainer. This trainer is very interesting. And I've had a few trainers over the years. I've never had a trainer like this in my life. I've been to the gym 2 times this past week, and we didn't touch one weight. He didn't even have me go over and lift a weight. The stretches and the stuff he's had me doing and rolling around on this ball on the floor. And I'm talking about a little ball, like this big hard ball. Roll, let it rub into your glutes and then let it rub into this and then turn on your stomach now and roll back. And I'm like, I'm paying this dude to roll me around on the ball, right? That don't even feel comfortable. It hurts. And I get up off of rolling this ball around in the center of my back and in my behind and in my legs and in my thighs. And I got up and he said, all right, so I'll see you in 2 days. And I got up to walk out the gym and my body was like, yo, I'd rather see the waist than that ball ever again. Don't ever bring that ball near me, right?
And I realized, right, because my body has to be trained to respond well to this thing. Your mind and your spirit have to be trained to respond to the word. That's not your normal stimuli. It's not that you can't do it, it's that you're not used to doing it. It's not something that you've done or do every day. You break glass in case of fire, a lot of us. You probably pray the same prayer to God every day, and it hasn't expanded or increased itself in the past 10 years. You're not being put on the ball on the floor and being forced to roll around and do weird, uncomfortable stuff. That no, we say that same prayer every day. No disrespect, but most of you I know, we stop praying. I already know exactly what you're gonna pray. You become comfortable with it. Now it requires us to dig in deeper and pray some stuff that we ain't never had to pray before. And ouch, that hurts. I gotta pray that? I gotta believe that. Well, what you gonna build your trust on? You're gonna build your trust on something. And praying what you've always been praying, what's the definition of insanity? Praying the same way all the time, expecting different results. It works for praying too. It works. Am I helping you here? So God is saying to me, no, this is gonna require something of you. He said, you wanna be able to skate like that? Well, you ain't got that young body now. You got an older one that's gotten used to being a certain way, and we're gonna have to beat that up a little bit and train it to be able to do those kind of things. Get down on one leg and hold a leg out and then stand back up. I'm like, dude, I can barely do that with both legs. You want me to do that with one? I mean, Kwame, he talking about squatting all the way down till your butt is touching the floor. And then get back up. And I'm talking about do that with a leg. Like, now nah, that's bro, that's not I need one of them walker things. You try to make a brother do some stuff, right? But you said it's what you want to do. You want God to do bigger things, huger things than he's done. You can't keep praying that same, bless our food, this day we eat in Jesus' name. Okay, no, this is going to require you some deeper stuff now. This is going to require that I have a closer relationship with God and a closer walk with God, and my conversation no longer is important in the prayer time. It's his conversation and his conversation only. Okay, God, I'm here to pray, but listen, I don't want to pray anything that I normally pray. Can you tell me what I'm praying today? Can you tell me what I'm believing today? And he'll tell you, yeah, don't say that anymore. You like you said that so much that yeah, don't say that. We've covered that. I need you to pray here. And sometimes those prayers are like, ooh, sometimes they're like, wow. Sometimes they're like, ouch. But this is the maturity. Trust is based on belief, and that belief is developed to relationship. So how many of you gonna pray a little different this week? We're not going to God laying out our bedpan prayer. So this is important because what we went over last week in Haggai, I want to pick up from there where I left off, and I want to add a couple more verses to this because this is now where it starts to dig a little deeper into this is that little ball that's got to, dig all into your groin and everything else and make you ache and get up. But this is where we start to say, God, I'm realizing that I really don't believe that. Help my unbelief. I have you ever prayed and God's beginning to expose something to you and you was honest to God and say, you know, God, I realize I really don't believe that. Have you ever read a verse in scripture and said, like, I really don't believe that? Those of you who didn't say yes, I'm gonna prove to you you're a liar right now. And if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you should say to this mountain, be thou removed. How many of you moved the mountain? I rest my case. You ain't moving no mountains. You ain't even moving a rock. You follow what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is there's stuff that we got to come to the reality that God, we just not there. We know your word promises it, and I'm encouraged every time Pastor reads it, but I'm not sitting with it till it becomes part of my DNA. I'm not sitting with it until it becomes, and I'm not saying, listen, babies, listen to me close. Listen close, 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 close. I'm not saying every part of the Bible today. But let him show you that point that he want to mess with you on right now. That thing you keep getting stuck on right now. That place you keep getting hit in the wall right now. Just sit with me with that until we're done with that. Then we'll move on to the next phase of things. But can I at least get you out of kindergarten? Like, can I get you out of nursery, please? Like, can we just work on this thing? And he'll show you each individual what that thing is. You might talk too much. You might not talk enough. You might be saying things out of emotion too much. You might, sit back and be passive and let people walk over you too much. Whatever the case is, it's going to be the thing that's going to be the beginning anchor to everything else that needs to happen. You understand that? Okay. So, verse 4. Haggai chapter 2. Yet now be strong, alert, and courageous. Now, if you remember, there was some instruction before that. Starting at verse 1, in the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, in the second year of King Darius of Persia, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, and I tried to remember, pronounce somebody's name last week, and the remainder of the people. So that's the part we're going to skip their names, and we're going to go to the remainder of the people. That's us. We're not Zerubbabel and all of them. We're the remainder of the people. Saying, who is left amongst you who saw this house in its former glory? Former glory, think about it in the beginning. It's the stuff we saw the prophets do back then. And so he's saying the former glory. And how do you see it now? How do you see it now? Okay, that's a good way to explain it. Remember when you first got saved? How you just felt like everything was magical and you and God just did anything together and you could just pray. Remember how nice that was? And now they don't seem to be that nice anymore. Right. He says, so can you remember the former glory? Do you remember how nice that was? Let me show you what the issue is. Let me show you that the problem is for you right now. Okay? Do you remember the former glory? And how do you see it now? This is a question. Is not this in your sight as nothing in comparison to that? So what's the issue? Yet now be strong, be alert, and be courageous. Watch this. When you first got saved, listen to me. God help me say this just right. Trust was not an issue for you. The world was a magical place, and anything that you could hear about God or believe about God was acceptable to you because none of it yet had been challenged. You received it, you heard it, you got excited, you knew what God was able to do, and you trusted. Me too. But as people say nowadays, but then life started lifing, right? Then you start to deal with the real things of the world that try to come against where you stand. And you want to stay in that bubble. Listen to me. You want to stay in that place where you're nursing. Where God is holding you in his arms and keeping you from the world and just feeding you every time you cry. But now you say, no, you gotta learn how to walk. You gotta learn how to talk. You gotta learn how to feed yourself. You gotta learn how to stand up. You gotta learn how to resist the devil and make him flee. I'm not gonna just make him flee for you like I did when you first got saved and you was a baby and I had to protect you. Come on now to talk to me just a little bit. You can nod your head or smile or smirk or put your head down, whatever it is you want to do, because you know I'm telling you the truth, just like you did your baby. And I, as a teenager now, I guarantee you ain't protecting her from everything and going to get her food every time she wanted and helping her get dressed. No, you know how to do that yourself. What's wrong? Don't you got two hands? All right, then you know what to do. Okay, and this is part of parenting. Yes. God is saying to us in a lot of our situations, you know what to do. See, we don't like that. Well, God, can you fix and make this happen? You know what to do. Don't you have a mouth? Can't you speak the word? Don't you know how to stand? You don't know how to resist the devil? Your kids get old enough to come home and say, somebody's bullying me. You know, if you're a black parent, you say, go there and kick their a. You know what I'm saying? What you talking about? You better stand up for yourself. Is God not a better father and parent than us? God, like, what you talking about a demon? Is that little punk demon bothering you? You better go whip his behind or whip yours. That's what my parents used to say. My parents used to say that. If you don't go out there and whip him, when you come home, I'm gonna whip you. We went out there scared, whatever. We went out there, we fought like our life depended on it, because we didn't want to get two beatings. So I know that's not scriptural, but I'm trying to make a point. Jesus used analogies all the time. I'm just trying to use one to bring it home to us as a peoples. We know what to do in a lot of these situations. We just don't want to because, one, we ain't spent enough time to trust it. Two, we want to feel sorry for ourselves and have God come in on a white horse and deliver us. And he's saying, it's not going to happen. I told you what to do. I've given you the word to do it. It's not my fault that you didn't study for the test. So when the test came, you couldn't take it, and you got to take it again and again and again. You know what to do. Get out there and whip their behind. You know what to do. I've given you a thought. What are you talking about? God, save me. Save yourself. Get out there and do what you need to do. So what is he saying? Yet, even though it ain't like it used to be, and the former glory ain't like what it looked like today, be strong. Be courageous. Says the Lord, be strong, alert, and courageous again. O Joshua, son of Jehoiada, the high priest. So he's saying, be strong, the regular people, be strong, the son of the high priest. I don't care who you are, you're still required to be strong and alert and courageous. That's three times back to back. All you people of the land, says the Lord, and do the work. And that's where we left off. And work. What's the work? Your trust in what you can do is weak and feeble because you're not doing the work in practicing it. Trust in the Lord comes from believing, which comes from practice of studying this. I do not even ask anymore as the years have gone by, who has listened to the message again this week? I kind of listened to it. You looked at the scriptures again? Now, I'm just holding on to next Sunday till you give me the next encouragement. Okay. Good luck with that. I'm teaching what I'm learning, and I'm practicing and messing it up and getting it wrong and practicing again and practicing again. Are you listening to me? You're not going to the next level you need to go to. Trying to hold on to the comfort of what you already know. You just can't. Be strong. Okay, let me try to get the rest of this in before my time is up. Kind of already is, but according to the promise that I have covenant with you when you came out of Egypt. So when you came out of sin and slavery to it, he said, I've made a covenant promise with you. Listen to this. I'm not going to talk a lot. I'm going to read this. So my spirit stands and abides in the midst of you. So my spirit stands and abides in the midst of you. So my spirit stands and abides Right in the middle of you. Fear not. According to the promise that I have covenant with you when you came out of Egypt. So, because I covenanted and promised with you, my spirit stands and lives. That's the word abides in the midst of you. Does his spirit standing and live in the midst of you? Is his Holy Spirit abiding in the midst of you? He's saying, and your ability to be courageous and to fear not and to stand is not out of willpower, it's out of my spirit that lives in the midst of you. Well, I don't know how to draw that spirit. Of course you don't. You don't practice with it. You know the best time to practice standing is when you're not going through nothing. I don't know about that. You learn to then Michael Jordan and none of these guys and Steph Curry and them and Kobe would not be the players they were as they said, well, when we get on the court and we play in the other team, I'm gonna work on my skill. I'm gonna try to work on my three pointers right there, and hopefully, I just get better as we go. Yeah, but you're gonna get your behind kicked for a whole lot of games before you finally win one. They talked about those guys showing up at six. Shooting shots for 3 hours before practice started. There's a reason they're the best. Well, those bad boys got skill. Stop that. They got skill, but they put that skill to work every week. There's no way I'm gonna sit home and pray on how to do these moves in the roller skating ring and just show up there and put on some skates and do it. I'm gonna turn, I'm gonna slip, I'm gonna fall, I'm gonna get back up. I had to get on Nelly because every time I before she would come, oh my God. I said, you know what? You got to get that old lady spirit away from me. That demon. Just get that out of here. I fell. You hurt yourself? Yes. It's part of the process. If they're not calling the ambulance to take me out, I'll be all right. Yes, I fell. It hurt. Ouch. It goes with learning to do what I'm going to do. Imagine if somebody in the gym, every time you lift a heavy weight and you struggle with it, go, oh my God, and they come and pull the weight off you. You okay? You're struggling. That's part of the deal. That's part of the deal. He's in the midst of you. You got to perfect your craft. I don't teach the suffering message, but I do teach the training methods. And yes, it's sore. And yes, sometimes it hurts. And yes, sometimes it's uncomfortable and it don't feel like nothing you want it to feel like. But you don't get better sitting home. You don't get better sitting home. You just don't. You get out there on the field. My daughter said to me, man, walking around watching Nelly, she said Nelly is the closest thing to Christ that she's seen. I was happy about that, but I was like, wait. What am I? Chopped liver? Like, what are you talking about? But she said she walked around with her in the mall and watched Nelly walk up to people to sell her product one after another. And they would be nasty and short and unnecessarily nasty. And like, why they got it? I mean, they have to come all off like that. And she said Nelly would be there, all right, have a blessed day, okay, and just smile and walk away. And she said, she didn't even let it faze her like that. Now, me, I have to go before the throne and work on that one. See, that's one of them gifts. I ain't called to that yet. I'm called to some other things. But I'm working on some other virtues. But that one right there is one I want. So I'm gonna have to do that work. I'm gonna have to be strong. I'm gonna have to be courageous, but I'm gonna have to draw on the God in the midst of me. And the God in the midst of me is not there if I don't trust or believe. Based on studying him, that he's there. Let me bring it home. We're gonna land the plane. We're gonna pick it up next week. Thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake and make tremble and scurry the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the land, and all the nations, and the desire for precious things. Of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. I'm gonna get more into this next week, but I want you to understand this. He said, let me shake it up. Let me shake up the world around you, the oceans, the seas. Let me mess up your whole little plan you think you got. Because watch this. After all this is done, I will fill the house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. Well, he's talking about spiritual things. That he ain't talking about, that ain't about money. That's about spiritual things. Next verse. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house with its successors, which in this case, Jesus came. I want you to understand something. He's saying all this wealth and success you're praying for, you're praying for the outside to be fixed. Like God showed me this morning, he said, what's not right on the inside of you that ain't just coming and flowing in? Well, God, fix our business and grow the business, our success. And God said, no, 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 no. God said, I have you confessing every day that I am a New York Times bestseller. You going to get that without writing a book? I pray and I just believe in God. Oh, you going to write a book, though. You're going to republish a book back. You're going to give a book out, right? I just trust the Lord. I just believe the Lord. He's going to make a way. Okay, then you a dummy and you got what you got. You got to do the work. And the work requires me and you, this is what I'm saying, to get before God so you get to the place that you trust and you believe that his promise is true. So what is something you believe in God for right now? And you are muted. You ain't got to say it for me. But I want you to speak it out loud. Something that really has been kind of a pressure point for you. Not, I just believe in God just today and every day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Nobody want to hear that junk. God don't even want to hear it. Trust me. What is it that you've been believing God for that's just kind of been a sticking point for you? Like you like, God, I believe, help my unbelief. Like, I know you want this for me. I know that you've been calling me to this, even charging me. Sometimes I feel bad and ashamed that I'm not even manifesting it yet because I know you calling me to it. What is the holdup here? Just take a moment with that. And then come to God and say, help me trust you on my inside out in this area. Help me trust you. I've realized I've been trying to do it in my own strength. I realize I've been trying to get you to help me do what I want to do, but help me trust you. Help me believe you, God. What word have you been speaking to me that I keep dancing around? What have you been challenging me in that I keep trying to avoid every step of the way? Help me sit down with this until I can't see it any other way. Put me on the floor, stretch me, bend me, whatever needs to be done to my spirit to make me lose the way I do things and receive what you're saying right now. I need to be a different me. I need to be a better, gut me clean if you need to. Because God is not keeping your blessings from you. He's working with you every day to step you into the place of that greatness. All the splendor, all the glory. A week before we did about, he honors you and he loves you and he cherishes you. And now he's saying to you, listen, I filled you with something. I'm in the center of you. And all this, I'm going to shake up things. I'm going to mess your world up. But if you be still, all of my glory, all my goodness is going to come in on you. And that's going to be in your spirit first. And then for those who are naysayers, he said, and the gold and silver. All bases covered. It don't say dollars because they didn't have dollars back then. They had gold and silver. So my point is, think about this. God is saying, I'm in the midst of you. I got you. Do you have me? And if your answer to that is yes, then the question you've been asking me is how much? Do you have enough me for what you believe in for? You got enough of me to keep you sustained where you are for the rest of your life. But do you have enough me flowing in you to take you where you want to go? And I would say to everybody on here, the answer to that is no. So if you've been praying the same prayer over and over and over again, and look like you're just not breaking through to that next level, you got some belief work that need to get done so that you can trust. And then you'll step out, and no matter which way the wind blow, you're like, I'm going that way. The wind is pushing me to the left. I'm going that way. Then that scripture will keep your head to the hills from whence comes your help. Keep your eye on what the promise was. Don't make a difference what's happening around you when you allow God to build your trust up. And that's the process. Amen.